Yay, recording. How about that?
Yeah.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on? So I had another awesome interaction with somebody who watches the show this week. So we're at least up to two people to watch the show.
I think way more people watch the show than we think. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I agree, but
I
it's still
think
funny.
we're just low. We're a low key YouTube podcast. That's all.
Yeah. I'll stay with that. That's pretty good. They complimented on our comic reviews, which they said is the best, their favorite part. And they said there's too many podcasts out there that don't do comic reviews but call themselves a comic podcast. And I was like, well, I mean, have you met Justin and I?
We're well, and to be fair, it's a lot of people want to get on the, all the stuff that is comic related, like I enjoy watching podcasts of other guys talking about the X-Men 97 stuff and the Deadpool Wolverine movie coming out. And I watch other podcasts that are probably a little bit more analytical, like the ones that I there's a couple of dudes that do like slabs and stuff, like more detailed stuff about slabs, which is actually very informative. They're really good at it. So, if you're looking for something like that, that's cool too. I even watch the ones that they literally sit there and they show how they clean and press a book, which is fascinating to me. I was like, oh, that's cool. No, I don't think every clean and presser does some of the stuff that the guy that I watch does, but it's still a pretty cool process to see how they do it.
So speaking of that, so I was at the waterfront yesterday. Before cosplay karaoke, which was fabulous, by the way, and everybody had a great time and it was a lot of fun. And the next one is going to be a team up, so it's going to be twos. So make sure you come prepared with your
Duo.
team. Considering we had three Captain Americas last night, it was pretty funny.
Really? Yeah.
So I'm talking to well, I had two conversations about grading separately. One was with Mr. Cope, who because I said I mentioned like, hey, I'm gonna send out like a hey, here are things to for people to look forward to help out with the con, right? And part of it was that CBCS would be there, and here's the things that CBCS grades, like comics, magazines, manga, VHS, trading cards, sports cards, and how I dropped off a flyer at one of the sports cards places downtown, and this one dude was like, wait, what? And he like totally took out all the information. I saw some tickets bought on the online thing or online tracker, so I maybe it was that guy. I don't
Mm
know. He said like, well, I'm a CGC guy, so how do I get people to do that? And I was like, which then led into another conversation later I had with a customer, and he was showing me how he got a 9.9 on a book, right? And how he follows this one guy that only does newsstands, and CGC sent him back a direct market one, not a newsstand one, because the guy that worked at CGC screwed that up and, or stole it and swapped it. So it was a very interesting thing, 'cause like I didn't, and I'm not pro either, right? Like I'm not pro grading at all. Like I'm not a big grader.
I mean, I'm for like if you want to protect your collection,
I'm 100%
cool.
okay. I'm 100% on board. That's fine. But I don't think the people need to buy like seven copies of something, get them all graded, and then just flip them. Like it's a little excessive to me. So,
Well,
because if every
unfortunately,
book ends up getting graded, you can't read any of them. And that's part of the problem. So So it was a very interesting conversation about that. And I thought it was kind of fun to kind of poke with that, like both sides of that story. 'Cause like, And one of the things I said about, CBCS was, well, at least they can't, they're not, people are cracking their cases and swapping their numbers. So,
That's true.
but whatever. Anyway, like I said, I'm not a big fan of either, but,
Yeah. But
CBCS
there are certain,
has been
again,
good to me,
yeah, certain
CGC, not
things are
as
good.
much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both are pretty much on par with each other now. Like they're both like within 2 weeks return
Yeah.
mostly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah. But again, you talk to it and, kind of extending it out. I don't know, like people are like, well, CGC is just the older one, and they're the standard. And I'm like, it's only older by 2 years.
Yeah.
That's
And
not a lot.
guys that
That's,
left CGC started CBCS.
yeah. And
So
I kind of point that out, and they're like, that's not true. I was like, look it up, dude. It's on Google. I was like, they had, it's, you're not talking like CGC existed like 10 years before.
Yeah.
This is 2 years. I'm 4 years older than my sister. That doesn't mean that I'm the standard bearer of our family. No, that's it.
No. No, but
It's
if you're no, but you are the heir apparent. So
true, true. And then if we
if
go
you were a
back,
monarchy, you would be the next in line for king.
that
So
is true. I would be next in line.
right.
And
So
I would be the first to be killed in the Game of Thrones.
exactly.
So,
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
so that's
So
why I would be Jon Snow out that way, banging the hot, wild hotties out there. That's what
right.
I would be doing.
So cool. All right. So, all right. Coming up. Don't forget, all the stores are closed on Easter. Have a great Easter. Be safe. Go find some eggs. Go eat some chocolate.
Ham
Eat some ham.
and potato salad.
Yep.
Ham and potato
Well,
salad.
I'm not a big potato salad guy. So eat some ham. I'll eat extra ham. It'll be fine. I love some ham. And then the week after that is the Mills anniversary sale. Make sure you come up for that. And then in the next couple of weeks after that, we have the warehouse sale, the first warehouse sale of the year, which over half of it has been replaced with new stuff. So if you're coming out for it, check that out. And then we also have our Dave Wachter appearances at Waterfront and Mills, where he's coming out because of his new Uncanny Valley book that he's doing with Tony Fleeks. And if you come out, whenever you come out, we have a bunch of extra posters of it, and he's going to do a sketch on each one for you. It's going to be cool. Dave's a great guy. He's a lot of fun. He also did Ninja Turtles, don't forget, and Godzilla, and Iron Fist, and Star Wars, and Punisher.
Lot of stuff.
Lot
A
of
lot of
stuff.
stuff.
He may have been around a bit.
Yeah.
But he's a great guy. Make sure you come check him out. It's a lot of the book's hilarious. I read the preview book. It's awesome. Well, it's not hilarious. It's really good, but the it's hilarious because it's like a serious like Roger Rabbit type world or cool world. But like the crows are all like the crows from Looney Tunes, so it's hilarious. So anyway, yeah, let's just go into comics. Now we'll talk about X-Men because there really wasn't anything that we need to talk about this week.
It's
So,
true.
or want to talk about this week, we'll put it that way. All right, my first book is Feral.
Yes.
So this book was awesome.
Yes.
If you guys like Stray Dogs, you're gonna like Feral. This is about a bunch of cats that are in a catcher's truck. A fox runs out on the road, the truck flies off the side and it wrecks. The humans are all dead, and Patch and oh, what's the other one?
I thought they were domesticated cats.
They are. but they got
Okay.
caught by well, they, you know, they got somehow they got caught by the animal control people. The one's cat is Patch, and I can't find the other one's name. Damn it. Anyway, they're looking for Lord, who's Patch's little brother, and they can't find him. So they're looking, they start kind of going in the woods, and they find like one of the guys that fell out of the truck is like in a tree, and they have like a flashback of when Lord was dropped off, and they run into a raccoon, and the raccoon's got rabies, and the raccoon scratches Patch, and like a fox like scares away the raccoon and kills it, and then all the foxes are now infected with rabies, and they're trying to kill the cats. So basically the feral part of this is that the cats are gonna get rabies, or at least Patch does. But it was a lot of fun. It's kind of funny. I dig the art, I dig the writing. The story seems fun. I'm giving this 3 egg omelet with pepper jack cheese, some pepperoni,
Ooh.
and some the hell hash browns on the side with ice water. Because you can't give your cat, well, I guess a glass of milk. You can't give your cat anything but milk and water. So there you go. And I'm not even a cat person, but this is awesome. So, all
Yeah,
right.
I read it as well. I had fun with it as well.
Okay.
It was really good. Yeah,
Yeah, I
that's
thought it was good.
I can't yeah, I was gonna say just very Night of the Living Dead, you know.
Right.
I got the variant cover with the Night of the Living Dead with the cat's
Nice.
head. I had to.
Oh,
We're
no.
Pittsburgh. We're
Wasn't it?
Pittsburgh. We have to have that.
I thought that was a Dawn of the Dead cover.
It Dawn of the Dead cover,
Yeah,
yeah.
I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I
It's
don't
still
remember it.
George Romero. It's it all counts. It's you know.
All good. And the artist, Trish Forstner, will be at Three Rivers Comic Con this year. So make sure you guys come out and check that out.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Street Fighter Masters Akuma versus Ryu, number one. I have to say, I love the art in this. Like the first and foremost, this was very, I don't know if they used like it looks like it's like chalk, like a little bit of chalk and a little bit of watercolor throughout the whole book. Ryu is meditating and trying to harness his power and everything. Now, this is way down the timeline. Like, if you've followed Street Fighters for, you know, any amount of time, he's defeated Akuma a couple times. And he is now like, he has tapped into his own darkness and he can actually beat Akuma on Akuma's level. So Akuma comes back and they're still like battling back and forth. Like it's a lot of dialogue as they fight, but the fighting is very beautiful in this. The way the I want to say the brush strokes or the colors flow off the page on this is awesome. I love the story is mid, but the art is awesome in this. But at the end of the book, Ryu is, I don't know if he's transported or his soul transcends, and you finally get to meet, well, I think we all kind of know Ryu's master, gets in touch with him and says, there's a power even greater than the one that you currently have. And it's the power of nothingness. So I kind of chuckled when I read that. And I'm like, are we getting into the never-ending story here of, you know, the power of nothingness? But I really enjoyed this. I don't know if like how many issues this is going to be I don't know. They only seem to be doing one shots with the Street Fighter, with the Udon company here. It's so hard to tell when the next one's coming out with this, because I don't think it's even listed when the next one is. So I'm gonna give this is like classic, playing Street Fighter in your bedroom against your buddy type deal. Get me some Fruity Pebbles with some, milk and chocolate milk for to drink, the classic Saturday morning or Sunday morning playing with your buddy. This is one of those things of, if you are a big fan of Street Fighter, I would recommend this. This is a cool book to have in your collection and to read. So.
Cool. Sorry, I was paying attention. I was just dealing with a phone call
Oh
from,
boy.
well, phone call slash text. It's nothing important, nothing super crazy, but I'll tell you later.
You
So
always say that.
very dumb, very dumb. So,
Yeah.
anyway, so what did you rate it? I'm sorry, I missed that part.
I was gonna say, I gave it like a bowl of cereal, like a bowl of like Fruity Pebbles. And I'm gonna be like the kid thing. You run out of milk, you use orange juice. And you orange juice.
I've never done that.
With the
So
orange juice with your
no,
cereal?
that
In your
sounds gross as
cereal?
hell.
Oh, it is, but with Fruity Pebbles though, it mixes well because the fruit kind of intertwines. But I love that. And I said, oh, chocolate milk to drink, because this is like, again, Saturday morning, like you're playing with your buddy in the afternoon, you're just gaming like crazy. This is that type of thing. You would do that. Maybe a Pop Tart or two,
All right. My next book is Local Man Bad Girls One. This, I believe, is a one shot. So this came with three alternate or two alternate covers. This is the cover I bought. This is her name's Neon. So this book is hilarious. Well, not really hilarious, but there's definitely some really weird, like, hilarious parts to it. So, Neon goes to the town, where the big bad from the main book is at her restaurant, and she's like, "We need to talk." So, she then goes into like how she was basically like, beating female villains for a long time. They talk about the Sixth, who is the main villain in this book. And it's a story about how the Sixth put off a sex bomb. The sex bomb got rid of all the men in their universe. All of them, including fetuses. Like, they all blipped. They all disappeared. All of them. So then they're like, "Oh, well, we should get everybody together and we'll figure out how to move forward." So they get them all together, and you see like Velocity from Top Cow. You see Lady Savage Dragon. You see Witchblade. The hell was the bunny's name from Hack Slash? Like, she's in there. And you find out that or like so they're like, "Okay, well, I guess we gotta fight some bad guys and get some things taken care of." So for like almost a year, they do that. Like, that's what they do. They just fight all these bad guys, and they finally get to the point where where the Sixth ends up getting killed. The guys come back, and then the guys immediately are just like, they're just like, "Yeah, like, we're here. We're gonna do everything again. It's okay. You don't need to worry about it." And it was this really kind of shitty, how like the dudes just immediately started treating the women like shit again. And then they go into like another story where oh, what the hell is her name? Brightside, who's another female villain, like how Neon like just completely kicked her ass. When Frightside tried to take on the take on Local Man, who is Crossjack. Like there's like that whole fight. And then it's a Neon's origin story. Like this weird neon light came to her reservation because she's Native American, and it basically melted everyone except for her. And she took it in, like the power absorbed into her, and then Camo, the hell's his name? Camo Crusader, ends up like finding her and teaching her how to be a good guy. They put her on like the on third gen, because second gen was just finishing up, and it was just, you know, interesting that she kind of takes the big bad from the other book out to a field, and it looks like she's gonna assassinate her, and then she's just like, no, like you need to deal with your demons, and then that's it. And then it goes into the next story, and then there's these cool Selena J like gallery covers of all the care all the women characters, but like as like pinup, like old pinup poster kind of things, and it's awesome. Seascape is the other one who did some really bad stuff. It was another bad guy. But I really love this book. I love all the Local Man stuff. This is Tim Seeley and Tony Fleeks. It's freaking great. I'm going to give this, oh man. Okay, I'm gonna give it 3 strawberry pancakes, or 3 pancakes with strawberries, a small bowl of warm oatmeal with raisins, and a cup of orange juice. Because I feel that that's what my wife would eat, and she's my superhero woman. So that's kind of what I feel she would get. So if not an omelet. But I already gave one an omelet tonight. I don't want to give another omelet. So.
Okay. Sam and Twitch, the Case Files number one. I have to say, this one was
Is
boring and
this?
dull. This is this. I'm sorry. Like, and I'm a Spawn guy. Like, I like Sam and Twitch as characters, but wow, what a way to start this book. Because it's exactly the way, like, we've known them. Like, it's there's no like Sam beats up a CI kid and he gets suspended and Twitch gets suspended because he's his partner. And
Right.
I was like, we haven't updated this. This is still going on. This is the same shit that we were dealing with in the 90s, into the 2000s, into the HBO special. I'm like, you couldn't have come up with a better beginning than, hey, yeah, we're just gonna have Sam beat up a kid, break his nose, and he's gonna get
Same
suspended
old,
for
same
it.
old, same old,
Yeah,
same.
and I'm like, okay, this is boring shit. I mean, the end, I guess, is where you start seeing the supernatural aspect of it, the Spawn universe stuff. But I read this and I'm like, this was a big waste. I was like, people have been wanting a new Sam and Twitch book since the last one that was really good. The art was not my style, but the content was awesome. This was garbage. This had no creativity to it. This was
Whoa.
Like,
So do you think that this first issue was more like, because you're right. It's been like, what, 15, almost 15 years since we've had a Sam and Twitch book.
yes.
So do you think that the first issue might have just been like a little more of a reintroduction of who these characters are?
Okay, yeah, but Sam and Twitch have been around as long as Spawn. And I mean,
I'm just
like,
saying, like some people may not know who they are. So,
but
do you do like a sort of recappy style first issue to kind of get people in the understanding of who these guys are?
I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
But if you've followed Spawn for even within the last 5 years, Sam and Twitch have been an integral part of the Spawn universe.
Okay.
And the fact that you have to introduce them in another volume, you have to do it this way, was awful. And that's why I'm giving this a big old thing of oatmeals with raisins in it, because that's
Cold
how bad this
oatmeal,
was.
right?
Yeah.
Cold oatmeal.
Well,
Cold, semi-dry oatmeal.
I give it, I like the art, which is fine.
Cold grits.
Cold grits. Yeah, I mean this had no creativity. There was no
Who's the creative team on this book?
I don't
Hold
know. It's
on, let
not
me
Todd. I don't think it's Todd McFarlane in
look.
this.
It's ran without the reason.
Ah, nice. Todd McFarlane writing.
Oh, Todd, you. Oh.
Simon Kudransky did the cover or did the art inside,
Yeah,
and
the art was awesome. I
Kevin
liked the
Keane
art.
did the cover art.
Yeah, the art was not the issue in this. It was the subject matter. This was. I
Hilarious.
didn't need to see Sam bust a 13-year-old's nose.
What?
And that took up most of the book.
Wow.
And I'm like, this is where we're going with Spawn. Hey, I'm a cop. Hey, I'm punched this kid in the face. Well, he slammed his face into a table, but
Come on,
I'm just like,
it's just McFarlane milking it. That's all it is. Come
oh,
on. That's all it is.
he
All right.
knows better.
All right.
Yeah, but this was wow. I was excited for this, and now I'm not,
I'm
because now I don't want to
sorry.
know if I want to get number two and read it.
Sorry that it was crazy. All
I
right. Okay. My last book is Duke number four. Just moving on.
mean.
So this book is interesting because we get to see Baroness be very badass. Which was cool. We start to see some of the Joes that were putting Duke in the like in the jail to start playing on his team a little bit because all the Cobra guys start attacking, so he's like, oh, come with me, I know where things are, and he opens a secret door, and all of a sudden there's like a ton of tanks and jets and stuff in there. So, Major Blood got hurt from Baroness in the last issue. You start to see him and all of his minions who look like really bad Judge Dredd ripoffs. Because they're like the helmeted Cobra guys with like the front, like the Kevlar, but they have like sunglasses kind of goggles.
Oh,
But
jeez.
you can see their mouths, like, which is the only time you see that is when Major Blood's like that. This is also how he loses his eye and ends up with this eye patch, which is kind of
Oh.
cool. So they come rolling out in a jet, a tank, and like a carrier, like a people carrier. Baroness ends up jumping out and kicking a dude out of a helicopter. Stealing a helicopter and going away. Duke ends up escaping. And someone who I think is Destro, but I can't really tell, There's only one little glimpse that makes me think it's Destro. It's kind of like, no, really, you need to find this Duke guy. You need to take care of him. So he sends, like, they shoot rockets at him. He flies away. It's pretty, like, scrap irons in it. You see how, like, crazy, like, burned face he is. It's pretty awesome. And then at the end, Duke gets caught by a bat. So, like a G.I. Joe bat, like a Cobra bat, like the
Yeah.
android guy. This book is just super entertaining. I like it a lot. I like the Energon universe in general, like a lot. I really like the Duke and Cobra Commander books a lot. I think Williamson is crushing it. I am giving this a steak and potatoes breakfast with a glass of
Ooh.
beer. Like, that's how crazy that, this is like the breakfast that, you know, like the Chuck Norris probably has, you know, like it's so
Chuck Norris
good.
doesn't eat breakfast.
Breakfast
Breakfast,
eats Chuck Norris. I mean,
yeah.
wait a minute. So
Breakfast
yeah.
just absorbs into Chuck Norris. There we go.
Chuck Norris breakfast is when he cuts a piece of his own leg off his ham for the for breakfast. So, God. But it's so good. It's very good. I really dig it. So, all right. Your last book.
All right, X-Men 97 number one. Now this seems to be the like precursor before the X-Men 97 first episode. Like this looks like this is like in between that and when Xavier left. So the book opens up with Magneto attacking New York and the X-Men attack, and they kind of get their butts kicked. And it turns out that it's the Danger Room. The team is fighting. And I mean, the team, as in Wolverine and Cyclops, are kind of chomping at the bit as usual, the back and forth. Beast interrupts the team. To show the Friends of Humanity kidnapping Dazzler, who is now a mega super pop star. And Jubilee's like, oh no, I had tickets for the concert and blah, blah, blah. And the team goes into rescue mode, and Jean and Beast decide to stay behind. Rogue and Gambit are shopping in a mall, and of course, this was a cool little tribute here of they were looking at women's clothing, and of course, you know, Rogue is like, well, I can't wear this because it exposed my skin, and then Gambit pulls out the green top with the choker from X-Men Evolution.
Oh,
As the outfit.
the not the like the not the it's not I guess it does have a choker. Like
Yeah, it
it's
has
like
the choker.
the almost like silky, like see-through, like netting kind of
Yeah.
shirt.
Yeah, the goth, the very like goth era type
Right.
outfit. He's like,
Hold on.
Gambit, want to see you in this, you know? And I chuckled when I saw that. I'm like,
I'm gonna find this panel.
touche.
I just think it's funny that I need to see this.
Yeah.
Is this before the fight or after the
Yeah,
fight?
this is before the fight because
Okay.
they were out of the mansion. Like I said, they were shopping. It looks like in the mall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there it is. How
You
about
see,
that?
yeah,
It's
that's
not the
very cool.
choker, that's the belt.
Oh, that's the belt. Okay. Yeah, I
Yeah.
thought it was where I'm like, I don't remember the choker, but it's again the gothic era outfit was awesome.
It's the shirt that she wore under. It's the
Yes.
undershirt and the belt.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's really
And
funny.
anyway, let's see. The X-Men find the Friends of Humanity, beat them up. And as they are at the end of the battle here, we get officially introduced to Valerie Cooper. So this would be the first appearance of Valerie Cooper And the unit and unit that the X-Men are now like working with in the current series, well, this explains on where this start the relationship starts. She tells that she was a friend of Xavier's, and you know, she was the his liaison in the government, actually. So that was cool. It kind of gave you the little info of like how everything starts. And we also see ancient Denti, who is the executioner, because you see the scars on his face. He's also whispering to the Friends of Humanity as he's leading them out, going, "Hey, if you guys shut up, I can get you out of here, you know, on the down low, blah, 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 you know." So yeah, we already see the discord of humanity, of course. We revert to back into the mansion. And we find out Jean is pregnant. We also see Storm does her mohawk in this episode. So this is like the origin of Storm's mohawk, I guess.
I mean,
Or
that's the
the
best part of this book so far.
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm like it. I like the they're getting back to the roots. I like this so far. This is pretty cool. And of course, Jubilee goes with Bishop with Dazzler to the Dazzler concert. You see this little heart to heart with Jean and Storm calling each other sisters, and Jean actually tells Storm, you know, about the baby first. So, meanwhile, Wolverine and Cyclops decide to fight because they're still bitter from the early on in the book. Beast is also trying to help Bishop with his armband, so that you get a little bit of that in there. But at the concert, Sinister's gang, the Nasty Boys, come and try to kidnap Dazzler. Dazzler, Rogue Gambit, and Jubilee and Bishop take on the Nasty Boys, beat them. They scram with tails between their legs. And then, was it? We flash back, or we flash back to the mansion where Jean si finally tells Cyclops that she's pregnant. As she does that, you see Wolverine kind of sneaking around. He overhears it, and you see the big grimace on his face, shocked.
Right.
And you find out the Nasty Boys go back to Mr. Sinister. Mr. Sinister loses his shit, pretty much saying, we can't do this anymore because now that mutants are being more accepted, you know, we can't do the use the same old tactics over and over again. So he punishes the Nasty Boys and says, "I don't need you buffoons anymore. I'm gonna look for better minions." And then you see at the end of the book, he's starting to search for other enemies of the X-Men. You see like Sabretooth and some of the other powerful mutants that are not exactly thrilled with the X-Men. So I like this book. This was really good. Gave you a little bit more filler for what was happening between the time X-Men, the original X-Men animated series ended and where the current one started. So I liked it. I'm gonna give this a solid omelet with some veggies in there, couple pieces of bacon, couple of the give me some Jimmy Dean flat sausage patties, some good stuff. It's
Some Jimmy Deans.
Jimmy Dean's. Give me a little thing of hash browns, you know, solid breakfast, solid book, like the art. It was like you're exactly reading the
So
Thanks. This is pretty good.
Okay, hold on. I had to send, I had to send a photo. So, and this, I could, but I have to use the photo so that you understand why I think it's ridiculous. Okay, it's a little blurry, but whatever, because I just took this with my phone real quick. Okay, so why does Jubilee have blow up doll face? And it happens, and I'm not saying that just in this panel, but this happens, that exact mouth is in multiple panels. And I'm just
I
like,
don't know.
why does she look like a blow up doll? This is awkward. So, other than that, I agree with you 100%. I thought the book was great. I thought I thought Jubilee, or I thought everything about it was fun. It felt very much so like the show. And now we're going to talk
But I
about the
have
new
to say,
episode.
this week was really busy. I had a hard time picking.
Yeah.
Like, there were three other books that I could have read too. I had X-Force number 50, which is like the final battle of Beast versus Beast, which was actually kind of cool. Rise of the Powers of X number 3, which was really awesome. And Wolverine number 46 was came out this week too. Like, this was, I think Spider-Punk 2 came out too. So it was,
No, not
yeah.
yet. No, Spider-Punk 1 was last week. So, oh no, you're right. Spider-Punk 2,
Number
there it
2 did
is.
come out, yeah.
My bad. Also,
So yeah.
this Green Arrow was great. Power Girl was good, and Alan Scott Green Lantern was like one more issue to go in
Yeah.
the 6-issue mini.
This was a busy week,
Yeah.
but you know, definitely
Got a
get out
champ
there and
jamming
get
in there
some,
before Easter.
yeah,
All
buy your
right.
stuff.
So now that that's over, we're going to talk about the new episode of X-Men 97 real quick. But first, before we do that, I will say I've also been continue watching my X-Men Evolution rewatch, which,
Oh yeah.
God, do I hate the music in it. It's so bad.
It's definitely not, you
It's
know.
very 2000s, like let's just
Yes.
call it that.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh
It could have
God.
been worse. You could have heard like Limp Bizkit going roll and roll and
You know what? I almost would have
I
preferred it.
preferred
Yeah. Because it's
it.
like there's these points where like there's like this weird keyboard part that
Yeah.
just it's just really not good. And honestly, that's the only part of that show that really is making me mad, except for the fact that like so why, if the Xavier Institute is a school, why are they all going to this other high school? Like that's my biggest question, right? And I've yet like they've yet to show Magneto as Magneto, which I'm pretty sure doesn't happen till the end of season one anyway.
Yeah, you just see like silhouettes,
Right.
like,
So I got through the Blob episode,
oh yeah.
which was very like, woo, that's cringe all over. Like there is no consent happening at all.
Yeah.
Like it
But
is.
I have to say that kind of fits the Blob's, like, that's kind of how I always pictured the Blob kind of being, like,
Yeah.
no
Don't
offense
make
to
fun of me.
that
It's like my favorite part.
and
Stop making fun of me. And I'm like,
that,
oh, I
you
remember
know,
that.
considering where we're from, I
Yeah.
hate kind of ripping on where we're from, but I could kind of see this being like the happening in like the Westmoreland County Fair, you know, like I'm
Yeah,
like walking, I'm like,
I thought of it more as
oh
like back in like around the time that it came out, which was like around 2000.
yeah.
Like everybody wore like the Cowboys jackets and we're like, you're in Steeler country, son. And they're like, don't make fun of me. So that was more how I was taking it. But I thought it was good. Like it's the writing's good. It's just weird because like I don't know if I really like reading them as such young kids or like watching them as such young kids. It's just weird, right?
Yeah.
'Cause like in the comics, even in the, well, I guess in the original stuff, they were probably like high school era, because they like,
Yeah,
it's like the
they're
whole
older.
puberty triggers everything, whatever.
Yeah.
But you don't really think about that, because most of their adventures, they're at least 20, right?
Yeah.
Like, and by the time the 90s stuff rolled around, they're all like in their probably early 30s.
Yeah.
So like, that's the era that I know the most, and that's
Yeah.
like the animated was focused on that era, and that's why, like, I think it's weird for me to watch it, because I feel like it's like almost like it's more designed for kids,
Yeah.
but I don't know,
But
whatever.
they were still doing serious, like, adult issues, and you're still having the main theme, and I didn't mind it. It was just, like you said, it was a different point of view. Maybe it would have been better if they would have did OG X-Men, like Iceman, Beast,
Oh, I didn't care
Cyclops,
about the
Jean, or,
team. I cared about, like, it's just weird watching them be like in high school, and then it's just like, well, what is the Xavier Institute if they're all in this other high school? Like, that's the part that I'm just like, what? Like, is it like
But
college only, or is it for the guys that can't go out in public? Like, is that really what it is? Like, that's weird.
I
So.
always looked at it as kind of like a they have to go to regular school, some classes, and then other classes are in the Xavier Institute, because it always meant to be like being like an AP type thing, where it was more advanced classes where the public school would not have access to that. That's the
So,
way I interpreted it anyway.
fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Let's talk X-Men 97, episode 3. So this episode, did it have a title? Hold on, let me look before I answer. I'm gonna answer my own
I think it was
question.
Goblin Queen or
If
Enter the Inferno or something.
not, it should be Inferno.
Yeah. Or Entering the Inferno, something with Inferno in it.
Let me hold on. Let me see what IMDb says, because they're the be all end all. Fire made flesh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was
So.
used in the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So this was basically the Inferno storyline in an extremely abridged version.
I was gonna say, yeah, I was like,
Like, they
dang,
even
that was
had that
short.
real nice cameo of Morph turning into magic, even though
Yep.
the last time we saw magic, she wasn't even a full mutant yet.
Yeah.
Like, it was very weird.
Yeah.
But she had the sword, and it was
Yes.
cool,
And
and
then you got to
it's
see the
cool.
demonic version of magic too, which was also pretty cool. So.
I really thought this episode was very well done, for jamming as much
Content in it, yes.
content into it as they could.
Yeah.
They really did it. Like, they
Yeah.
really slammed a lot of content into this one.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, this is also how we find out that the Jean that gave birth to Nathan is Madeline Pryor, and then we see Bishop take little baby Nate into the future so he can deal with his techno-organic virus and become Cable, and then he's going to come back and he's going to wreak havoc later. This is also cool because it's our first real full Mr. Sinister of the new series,
Yes. And I
which
have
I
to
thought was
say,
great.
super creepy. He was even creepier than he was in the animated series, because he started like doing rhymes from the era that he was from, the 1800s. They said the one his little line when he escaped was a old timey lullaby that was used to sing in the 1800s. So it's kind of little things like that. I'm like, ooh, that's creepy. So
Let's see. Let
I
me see
like
if I can
the
find the let me I'm looking for quotes from it. See if there's anything important on here. Nothing. No one has put quotes on there yet. But I thought it was hella good though.
Oh
Like
yeah, they got everything in it. Like they got the hellscape in there. They got Morph's PTSD from Sinister in there, which I really, again, I love that we're getting more morph in here than, we did in the animated series, like when he's a good guy, not so much as a bad guy plot.
I also think it's cool that, we're seeing Bishop, do what he's supposed to do in the books. But the only part of that that I'm like, I don't know how that's gonna work out is like are we gonna see like Askari son? Are we gonna see like are we gonna get like a Bishop adventure in the future now? Is Bishop coming back at all? Like that's what I wanna know. Because like, because the next episode is,
It's a start of a two-parter. Or I think
or
next.
it's life and death part one. It's life death part one, and then there's a one in the middle, and then life death part two, which we saw the end. At the end of this episode, we saw the teaser for that, which is Storm talking to Forge,
Yes.
to get her powers back, which is the life death storyline. So, cool. Like I think it's good. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yes. Yeah.
I think the animation is good. I still don't like the look of things. Like they did that with Sinister, and I was like, God damn it, stop doing that. So.
I liked it. I liked seeing Sunspot kind of being the boyfriend of Jubilee by the looks of it.
I like that too. I
I
was like, oh, he came back.
yeah, he came
So.
back, I guess. So I guess we're gonna be seeing him more often. Maybe see him actually do like drills and stuff with the team eventually. We shall see.
I mean, honestly, I just like to see more of the New Mutants. Like,
Yeah.
I like to see that team. So,
Well, you got him and Sam Guthrie have already been introduced in
and
this
Rain, but
universe.
Rain was
Yeah.
already in X Factor at this point in
Yeah.
that universe. So,
Well, so
yeah.
is Forge, and apparently he's just taking a break from X Factor to help Storm out, apparently.
It's a good point. This is weird. Because he
Yeah.
looks like he should be before
Yeah.
all of
He,
his
I noticed
tech stuff.
they shaved off some of the years off him a little bit. And I'm like,
Yeah.
oh, I was
So.
like, okay, so
But.
they are. Did you make him so? Did they make him
Right?
younger? I don't know what they did. Maybe that'll be explained a little bit down the road. I don't
Maybe.
know.
All right. Well, that's about all we got for this week. Everybody have a good Easter. If nothing else, have a good day off on Sunday, because most
Yes.
shit's closed. And be
Except
safe.
movies. Except
Yeah, that's true.
movies.
Be
You'll see
safe. Have
Godzilla
fun.
and Kong. That's
Do
coming
it.
out this weekend.
Do
There
it.
you go.
So,
Yeah.
all right, guys. Have a good good time, and we'll see you next week.